This is lesson HBS 127, and the title of this lesson is The Body of Christ, Part 1. Let's open our Bibles and turn to John chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." In the previous lessons, we've been talking about Jesus being our example. And we found out that he was our example not only in the works he did, but in the way he did them. And here in verse 10, it tells us that the way he did them was through the power of the Father working through him. See, we discovered that Jesus gave up his heavenly powers when he came to earth. He laid it aside. And all that he did while he was on earth was because of his Father working through him by the power of the Holy Spirit. We found out in Acts 10:38 it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see that Jesus was anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit. And then he went about doing good and healing all that the Father wanted him to do because his Father was with him. And so we see that Jesus laid aside his heavenly powers, came to earth, did the works that his Father wanted him to do, and then made this astounding statement that he was going away and that he that believeth on him, that would be all believers, that'd be us, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Now, we found out that believers are supposed to do the works Jesus did. We're supposed to do them in the same way he did them. And now in this lesson, we're going to find out a little bit more about how we're going to do these works in the present day. The way we're going to do this, folks, is a manner that God the Father has set up through Jesus so that we can be a part of it. And that is called the body of Christ. This lesson, then, is going to be about the body of Christ. Now, let's just open our Bibles into Romans chapter 12, verse 5, and read a little bit about our first verses on the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. This verse tells us that every Christian is a member of something called the body of Christ. It says, so we, being many. Well, who is the we we're talking about here? Well, this is the book of Romans. If you go back to the beginning, you find out that it's talking to Christians, born-again believers. In fact, all the epistles are written to the church. And what is the church? It's the body of Christ. We'll find out a little bit more about that later. The body of Christ equals the church. The church equals the body of Christ. They are the same thing, folks. If you're in the body of Christ, you're in the church. If you're in the church, you're a member of the body of Christ. The members, the individual members of the body of Christ are individual Christians. And all that body then together, all the Christians together, form something that the Bible calls the church. Okay, so Jesus has set up a way for us to do his works on earth, and it's called the body of Christ. And each born-again Christian is a member of this body. We just found that out in Romans 12, 5. And I'll read it again. So we, talking to Christians, being many, there's a lot of us, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So this verse tells us a few things. It tells us, number one, that we Christians are in something, are members of something, called the body of Christ. And every single one of us are members of this. There's no Christian that's accepted Jesus as his Savior, that's been born again, who is not a member of the body of Christ. And we're going to find out here that this body, the body of Christ, has special powers, special gifts, and special ministries. And every member of the body of Christ includes every Christian. You can say it this way. Every Christian is a member of the body of Christ. Okay, so we're members of something called the body of Christ. Let's find out a little bit more about this body. Jesus is the head of the body, and he sits at the Father's right hand, and he makes plans for and gives instructions to the body. Now, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and find out a little bit more about this. But let's just clarify things a little bit before we move on. Every Christian is a member of the body of Christ, okay? And us Christians live in a place called earth. Now, the head of the body lives in heaven, and that's Jesus. And he's sitting at the Father's right hand, and his job is to make plans for and give instructions to the body here on earth. All right, now let's go back. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 23. I'd like to read all of this because it's all important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, and it's Paul speaking. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you. It's Paul speaking, so you can read it this way. I, Paul, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. See, Paul is praying a prayer here for the body of Christ. Now, let's listen in on Paul's prayer. I, Paul, cease not to give thanks for you, members of the body, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now let's listen to this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He's praying that the eyes of Christians' understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He wants you to know what God's calling is for the members of the body. He wants every member of the body to know what that calling is. And he wants them to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, the Father's power to us who believe, the members of the body, according to the working of his mighty power. His mighty power, folks, works in the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, which he wrought in Christ, this mighty power, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You see, Jesus right now is sitting at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. Ever since Jesus left earth, when he ascended into heaven, he's been sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet, talking about the Father. I can read it this way. And the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him, talking about Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is telling us, folks, that Jesus is now sitting at the Father's right hand in heaven. And the Father has installed him as the head of the church. That's Jesus. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet. And has given him to be the head over all things to the church. You could say it this way. And the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet and then gave him the power to be the head over all the church. That would be us, because it says in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here we have the full picture of the body of Christ. We see that the Father has set it up. Jesus is the head. All Christians that are born again Christians are the body. The head of the church, Jesus, is in heaven. The body is on earth. And here's an interesting thing in verse 22. And the Father has put all things under his feet. Now I'm asking you, are the feet on the head or on the body? Well, that's a silly question. Everybody knows the feet are on the body. This means that the Father has put all things under the body. Us, the church. Jesus is the head. He makes the decisions for the church, what we're to do, and then the church carries it out. And they can do it because God the Father has put all things under our feet. He has given us authority as the body of Christ to work the will of the Father and the head of the church, Jesus Christ, in heaven on this earth. And that power, folks, is the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. You see how beautiful this is? Jesus goes away and he says, the works that I do shall you do also. And then he gives us this amazing, I don't know what the word is, plan, I guess, for us how to carry out these works on earth. And it's a reassuring plan, folks, because it doesn't mean that Jesus is just leaving and he's saying, I'm leaving all this for you to do. And we're looking at Jesus and we're saying, oh my goodness, look at all that Jesus did. And we're supposed to do all these works and he's going away? And even greater works? How in this can this possibly be? And then Jesus and the Father, in this beautiful manner, lay our fears to rest. And he lays out a new concept that was never known before the epistles were written, and that concept is the body of Christ. So here we go. Let me summarize. The way we're going to do these works, and even greater works, that the Father has called us to do, is called the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body. He's in heaven, all right? And he is going to tell us how exactly we do the works, and he's going to give us the exact works he wants each of us to do. So isn't it reassuring to know that Jesus hasn't left us alone? In fact, he said in the Gospels when he was on earth, he said, I am not going to leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter. And if you look up the word for Comforter in the Greek, it's a word called paraclete, and it means helper. Jesus says, yes, I'm going away, but I am going to leave the helper with you. And it's the same helper that helped me do the works when I was on earth. See, when Jesus gave up his, laid aside his heavenly powers and came to earth, his Father, it tells us, anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. That same Holy Spirit that anoints each believer, that dwells in each believer. So you see, folks, we're not only going to do the same works Jesus did, but we're going to do them the same way Jesus did, and that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, that gives us then the reason Jesus laid aside his heavenly powers when he came to earth. It was so that he could be our example, and what he did on earth, he could show us how he did it, and we could do it the same way he did it. Now, if Jesus came to the earth as the Son of God, and with all the power of God, which he laid aside, which he has back again, by the way, if he'd come to earth with all this power and done these works, there'd been no way, folks, that we could continue these works after he left, because we sure aren't God, and we don't have the power of God on our own. That's why Jesus came here as the Son of Man and did these works under the power of the Holy Spirit, and then left that Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit he had, and to live in every believer, the same way he lived in Jesus, so that we could do the same works. What a beautiful plan, folks. If Jesus had come here as God, there's no way we could do the same works he did. But since he came here born of a woman, laid aside his heavenly powers, and then did the works that he did through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that we have, then we could continue those works when he went back to heaven. Further, he gave us the great honor to be called the body of Christ. Think about that. Jesus is the Christ. He is God. He is the head of the church. And he gave us the wonderful privilege to be called his body on this earth. We are the body of Christ, folks. We have the very same power that Jesus was anointed with, if you're a believer, that he did the works on earth. That same mighty Holy Spirit came and indwelt your spirit the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we see here through these scriptures in Ephesians that we read that he wants us to know, it says in verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? The Holy Spirit. That's the hope that we have to fulfill the calling he's given us. It's the mighty Holy Spirit, which is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the exceeding greatness of his power in verse 19, to usward who believe. It's the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit Jesus had, we have. We have that same working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And the Father has put all things under his feet, our feet, since we're in the body, okay? His feet, because we're his body. Our feet, because we are the body. And he gave Jesus to be the head over all things and then gave that to the church, which is his body. Folks, isn't that amazing? Think about it. We are the body of Christ. We have been entrusted to do the works of Jesus. And we're going to do them the same works he did, the same way he did, with the same power he did the works. That is a tremendous responsibility, folks, that has been thrust upon the body of Christ. Now, point one was, each born-again Christian is a member of this body. Point two is that Jesus is the head of this body, and he's sitting at the Father's right hands, making plans for and giving instructions to the body. Now we're going to talk about point three. Point three is, his body is the church. All right? His body is something called the church. Now, we need to talk about this a little bit because some of us are a little confused about this. We think church, when we hear the word church, is where we go on Sundays to worship the Lord. That is our church. And down the road, there's another church. And those people go to worship the Lord. And then down the road a little bit, there's another church. And those people go there on Sundays to worship the Lord. And some churches, they go even on Wednesdays. And some churches, they believe a little differently than other churches. When Jesus looks at his body, he sees one church. Look at Colossians 1:18. And he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. So, the church is the body of Christ. Now, let's look at Ephesians 1:22 and 23 too. It says, let everything be confirmed by two or more witnesses. Let's look at one more witness. Ephesians 1, chapter 22 and 23. And the Father has put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here again, it says that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. So let's do God the courtesy of calling things the way he calls them. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a member of the church. Every church, every member is equivalent whether you go to this church down the street or that church down the street or that church down the street or that church down the street, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you've been born again, then you are a member of the church. And every one of those people in churches down the street that aren't in the church that we are in on Sunday are just as valid a member of a church, the church, as you are, because they're members of the body of Christ. Now, point four. He gives his body gifts and ministries to accomplish the works and carry out his will. Remember back in John chapter 14 now, said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Well, how are we going to do this? Well, we found out one thing we're going to do is we're going to do them the same way Jesus did, do the same works he did. We're going to do them the same way in the sense that we have the same Holy Spirit he does and we're members of his body. He's in heaven. He's the head, and he's telling his body on earth what to do. So, how are we going to do these gifts? Well, we're going to do them through the Holy Spirit. Well, how is the Holy Spirit going to do these gifts through us? Jesus gives his body gifts and ministries to accomplish these works and to carry out his will on the earth. Now, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at some of these gifts and ministries. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you." He's speaking to Christians here, because the epistles are written to the body of Christ, to the church, to Christians. "So I say to every man that is among you," what do you say, Paul? "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Wonder what he's getting at here. "But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And we're going to find out in a minute, he's talking about the measure of faith to work certain gifts that Jesus is going to give to the body of Christ. Okay, now let's read this one more time with that additional knowledge. "For I say," Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "through the grace given unto me." That means the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. That's the grace. "And I'm saying this to every man that is among you." What are you saying, Paul? "I'm saying not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think." Okay, tell us more. "But to think soberly, according as God has given to every man the measure of faith." And he's going to talk about the measure of faith to work certain gifts Jesus is giving to the body of Christ. Okay? We need to think soberly. Now, let me just say something right here. If I give you $50 and I give it to you, no strings attached, do you have any reason that you should feel pride that you have that $50? No. Because why? I gave it to you. You didn't do anything to get it. I just gave it to you because I love you. I gave you $50. So you don't go around saying, "Hey, I got $50. You know, bragging on yourself. Because you know what? Why don't you do that? Because you didn't earn it. You didn't do anything on this earth to earn or to obtain that $50. It was a gift that came to you free and easy from me. Okay? Well, you say, "Well, I know that. That's simple. That's understandable." Well, now consider this verse in that light. Now we can understand what Paul is saying. He's telling the Romans here that they shouldn't think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, because it's God that's given to every man the measure of faith it's going to take to work certain gifts. And if God gives us something, we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In other words, he's going to give to the body of Christ certain gifts. Now, he's giving them to every man, but every member of the body of Christ isn't going to have the same gifts. Okay? And because all members don't have the same gifts, some sometimes think of themselves more highly than another who doesn't have what they consider to be the same gift they do. They may think their gift is a higher gift and that their brother or sister has a lower gift. And then they might think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And Paul is trying to put that to rest, saying, don't think of yourselves more highly, folks, because God gave you these gifts. You have nothing to be proud of. These gifts were something that came from God as a gift. All right, let's go on. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, talking about calling or gift, so we being member are one body in Christ. See, he's talking about here the body of Christ. And he's saying all members in this body don't have the same office or calling. And we're one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, but we have gifts differing. You see that in verse 6? We have gifts differing, even though we're one body. That's why Paul is telling us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, just because one member has one gift and another has another gift, and the world has kind of bestowed more attention on certain gifts than he has another. For example, if a man is a pastor of a 10,000 member church and he's on TV, we might give him a little more attention than we do another member who may be in the ministry of helps and who goes to church every Sunday and helps those around him, who exhorts and encourages people, who tries to lift up a brother that's maybe a little bit down or something like that, gives him an encouraging word. And Paul is saying that's a gift every much as the other gifts. And we're, as a body of Christ, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Verse 6, having then gifts differing. Folks, we have different gifts. And we have these gifts differing, it tells us in verse 6, according to the special or individual grace. In other words, according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. If your gift is prophecy, God has given you a measure of faith to work that gift. Remember, it's talking about a measure of faith up in verse 3. Or in some sort of ministry, he's giving us a measure of faith to work that ministry. Or he that teaches, he's giving a proportion of faith, a measure of faith to teach. Or he that exhorteth, he's giving a measure of faith to exhort. Or he that giveth, he's giving a measure of faith to give. Or he that ruleth, he's giving a measure of faith to rule or to govern. He that shows mercy, he's giving a measure of faith to do the showing of mercy. So we're talking here about he's giving to every man the measure of faith to work these different gifts. Now, whatever God's called you to do, and he's called every member, remember, of the body of Christ to do a certain gift, he's going to give you a measure of faith to do that gift. If he's called you to be a pastor, you're going to have a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be an apostle, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be an evangelist, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be a teacher, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be a prophet, he's going to be a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be an exhorter, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. If he's called you to be a person that showeth mercy, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. If he calls you to be a giver, he's going to give you a measure of faith to work that gift. You know, folks, you see people give their homes away and things like this. Well, folks, they were given a measure of faith to work that gift. You say, oh, I never could do that. Well, maybe you haven't given a measure of faith to work that particular gift. You see my point here. Whatever God has called you to do, he gives you faith to work that gift. Now, that's one way to identify your gift. Where does your faith lie? What do you find easy to do when it comes to helping others? Because, folks, all ministries are given to profit someone or something else. My point is, one way to identify your gift is to see what faith you've been given to work a certain gift. Now, there's no sense hunting around for a gift where you have absolutely no faith in. Okay? For example,
I should never put myself in a place to be a pastor because I don't have that gift. Furthermore, I don't have the faith to work that gift. I don't know how they do it, folks, to be honest with you. I don't know how a pastor does it. I don't know how he shepherds all those people. I don't know how they arrange all these functions and things for the members of the body to do in their particular, what we call, churches. All the little organizations that go on, the trips they go on, the missions trips, the youth groups, the dinners, and all of that. You need to do all those things. I'm saying I couldn't do it. I don't have the faith. I don't have the ability. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be an evangelist. I got more than one message in my spirit to talk about. The evangelist basically has one message, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God has put on my heart more than that. He's put it on my heart to teach the body of Christ lots of different things. He has put it on my heart to teach topically, which is the hardest way to teach, really, because you're teaching all over the Bible when you give a lesson. You're not saying, today we're going to talk about the gospel of, or the epistle of Timothy, say, or the gospel of Luke. We're going to go through that. Jesus, the head of the body, has put it in my heart to teach topically, to teach on topics, whether it's healing, whether it's the body of Christ, whether it's Jesus our example. And that means that you're going to have to take scriptures from all over the Bible to emphasize your point. All I'm saying here, folks, is whatever you've been called to do, and each member of the body of Christ has been called to do something, you're going to be given faith to work that gift. And one of the ways of identifying that gift is, what do you have faith to do? What is that one thing that you find yourself doing that's easy for you to do? It's another way of saying it. Because, folks, what you have faith to do will be easy to do. What you don't have faith for is going to be like pulling teeth. It's going to be hard. You know, it's just like if I tried to be a pastor or an evangelist. It's going to be hard. Now, it's not going to be hard to show mercy. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean every Christian says, I don't ever have to show mercy because I don't have that gift. Yes, you do. But I'm just saying some people will have a greater gifting in that area. They have faith in that area to work that gift. They're going to be able to see, maybe through the word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, someone that needs someone to help them or to show mercy or to encourage them, which we may walk right by that person and never know that they have a need. The person that has the ministry of exhortation is going to know. They may know by the word of knowledge. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit at a later time. All I'm saying today, folks, number one, we need to know that every member of the body of Christ has the measure of faith to work certain gifts or gifts. Secondly, the power to work those gifts are coming from the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer. Thirdly, the direction to work that gift, when to work it, and how to work it for the body is going to come from the head of the body, which is Jesus. You see it, how it all works together beautifully, folks? If we'll just approach this the way Jesus has given it and work it the way Jesus tells us, everything will go beautifully. Everything will be perfection in the body of Christ. But folks, it's not perfection right now. That's why Jesus is not coming for his church yet, okay? He tells us that in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, I believe it is, where he's not coming back till his church is working the way it's all supposed to function. And one of the reasons, folks, he has me teaching this lesson is because there are members of the body of Christ who some of them have been members for years and years and years and don't even know that they were called to minister on this earth in a certain gifting that they have. They don't know that the body of Christ won't be complete in its entirety until they start working their gift in the body. They don't even know they're a member, some of them folks, of the body of Christ. They think that's something somebody else, or they think it's Jesus' physical body. No, Jesus is the head now. He's in heaven making plans for and giving instructions to the body of Christ. The body is on earth working out Jesus, the head of the church's will on earth. So first we have to know that we're a member of the body. If you're a born-again believer, you are a member of the body. Secondly, we need to know that we're something that's expected of us to do. I think we all remember the parable of the talents, don't we? Where in the gospel, Jesus is talking and he said a man was going away and he gave to each of his servant a certain number of talents. They were to invest those talents while he was gone, and then he was going to come back and see what each had done with the talents. Okay? And one man went out and he gained another 10 talents. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Be thou ruler over much. And another one, he was given 5 talents. And he gained back and he gained another 5 talents. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. And he came back to the one with the 1 talent. And he said, and what did you do with your talent? And he says, Master, I knew that you were a person who expected a lot. And so I took your talent and I hid it in a napkin and I buried it so I'd be sure and have it when you came back. And he said, you wicked servant. You didn't do at all what I wanted you to do with that talent. And so he said, he took that man's talent and gave it to the one that had 10. And his disciples said, Lord, he already had 10 talents. And Jesus then made his point. He said, you know, to the one who does what I expect with what I leave him, I will give more. But to the one who doesn't do anything with what I give him, I will take that which he has and give it to another. And did you notice that both persons, one was given more than another to do, and one was given less, but they both got the same reward. He said to each one of them, well done, good and faithful servant. And don't you know that that person, that one that was given the 1 talent, if he would have gone and invested that 1 talent and gained just 1 more, he also would have gotten, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because the master had given it not only to the one who got the 10 talents, but he also gave that same statement, well done, good and faithful servant, to the one that made 5 talents. In other words, if you take whatever gift God gave you, it could be a great gifting, or it could be a small gifting. It could be one that's known by the whole world, could be none that's known by none but you and the person that you help. Each one then gets the well done, good and faithful servant, if you've done something with the gift. However, if you haven't done anything with the gift, you will not get a well done, good and faithful servant. Now, here's the thing. The reason God has me teaching this today is because he wants his body to know that something is expected of them. He's not a hard taskmaster. If they don't know their members of the body, they don't know something's expected. Even some that are members and know their members don't know something that's expected of them. They have a vague idea that they're supposed to tell someone about Jesus or something like that, but they don't really understand that they have a very special gift to give. Every man has been given a measure of a very special faith to work a very special gift. And God has me teaching this lesson so that the body of Christ will know this. So we see in this particular passage we've been reading that every man has been giving the measure of faith to work a certain gift. All right? Every man, every member of the body of Christ. We also see that we are many members in one body, and there's only one body in Christ, and that is the believers, a born-again believers. And every one of us are members one of another, and each one of us then is supposed to use this measure of faith to work the gift that we have, because we all have gifts differing according to the grace, individual grace, that is given to each one of us, whether prophecy, whether it's a certain type of ministry, he that teaches, he that exhorts or encourages, he that gives, he that rules, he that shows mercy, and there's many more gifts as we'll find out here as we go on. But this particular passage is what we're trying to get from this, is that every one of us has been given some faith to work a particular gift. And when I say one of us, I mean one of us members of the body of Christ. Okay, now let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see some other gifts and ministries that God's given to the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll look at something else here. Some more gifts. Some more giftings. Some more things God expects from his body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. That means members in particular means each having a part to play. All right. So he wants us to know that you are the body of Christ. Now this book, Corinthians, again, is an epistle. And so he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. And he's telling these believers, just like I'm telling you today, see, he had to teach them back then too. He had to tell them that they were the body of Christ and members in particular, each playing a part, that means. Now listen, and God, he's telling them, has set some of you in the body, in the church. See, that's the body. Remember, verse 27, you are the body, and God has set some in the church. The body is the church. You can use those terms interchangeably. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some of you in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All right, now let's just stop right there. You see now, the picture is starting to become clearer. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall ye do also. Now we're starting to see how this is going to happen. God is going to put into this body, into this church, apostles, just like the apostles they had back in the early church age, prophets, prophets are still today, that's what he's telling us, teachers, miracles. This is in the church, folks. He's talking about the body of Christ here. The works that Jesus did, shall we do also? Did Jesus do miracles? Yes. Are we going to do miracles? Yes. Are we going to be some apostles? Yes. Are some of us going to be prophets? Yes. Are some of us going to be teachers? Yes. Are some of us going to work miracles? Yes. Some going to have gifts of healing? Yes. Some going to have ministry of helps? Yes. Some going to have abilities in organization and governments? Yes, you know, like the pastor, for example. Are some of us going to have diversities of tongues? Yes. All these things are going to be working in the body of Christ. Now let's go back in the same chapter to verse 4. This is talking about some other gifts that the body of Christ is going to need to do the works of Jesus. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, every member of the body of Christ has the same Holy Spirit indwelling him. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that would be these gifts, is given to every man to profit with all. Now what are these manifestations or gifts? Called spiritual gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now notice it says to one. It doesn't say all are going to get this gift. It just says to one is given this gift. You may never use this gift, but to one in the body, several in the body, but not all in the body, will be given the gift of the word of wisdom to work as its Spirit wills. In other words, it's going to be manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't control these gifts. These manifestations comes as the Spirit wills, as we'll see further on. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. These are manifestations of the Spirit. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, listen, dividing to every man severally as he wills. All won't have these gifts. Remember it said up above, to one is given, to another is given. But he divides these gifts up among the body of Christ as he wills. He manifests these gifts as he wills. Now, folks, we need to understand that. these gifts are not in use by the body. Even if you're one that has a certain gift, you can't just manifest it any time you feel like it. And no, it's only as the Spirit wills. The Spirit manifests that gift as it's needed in the body of Christ to minister to another. May not even be a minister in the body of Christ that's being ministered to. Very often it's not. But what he's saying here is that these gifts are manifested through the body of Christ. To one will be manifested through the body of Christ, the word of wisdom. To another will be manifested by the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ, the word of knowledge. You see what I'm saying? There's been some confusion about this. Some people say, well, I've got the gift of the word of wisdom. And they give the impression that they can just manifest this whenever they please. No, they can't. This gift, even if you're using this gift, and not all will be manifested by the Holy Spirit as he wills when he sees a need. Okay? Now, I just want to make that clear. But these are gifts given to the body of Christ to be that are manifested by the Holy Spirit as he sees fit, would be another way to put this, at the times he sees fit, is manifested through a particular member of the body. Some will have one gift, some will have another gift. Now, it's been my experience that these gifts are manifested more often to those members have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, okay? It seems to be come with the package, so to speak. I know I never had any of these gifts manifested through me until I received baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then I had some of these gifts that would operate at times through me. As the Spirit wills, not that I will. And these gifts, folks, were manifested as the Spirit wills. I wasn't even aware that these gifts would be manifested when they were manifested. It wasn't something I thought, here's a person with a certain problem. He could probably use a manifestation of this gift in his life right now. That might help him out a lot. I've been used with this gift in the past in my life. Maybe I'll help him use that gift right now. Folks, that's not the way these gifts are used. In fact, you don't even usually know that that person even needs a gift. But the Holy Spirit will start to manifest that gift through you when that person is nearby and that person, when the Holy Spirit sees that person would be helped by a manifestation of one of these gifts, he does this. See, he does it to given to every man to profit with all. That means it's given when the Holy Spirit sees that someone could be profited with this gift. Now, folks, you're never going to be able to call when this happens. You're never going to be able to be the one that makes this decision on this gift. You may think this gift needs to be manifested right now. This person could really use this. It won't work, folks. It'll never be manifested as you will or as you think it should be. It will be as the Holy Spirit sees it should be. It will be as the head of the church sees it should be. The head of the church will inform the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work the gift. He will manifest that gift through you, but you'll never own that gift, folks. Even though you'll be used in that gift, maybe the only gift that you're used in, and he uses you in that gift, and that's the gift that he uses pretty much exclusively through you, you will never be able to call it, folks. You'll never be able to decide on your own, that gift, I'll operate that gift now because that's the gift that God has given me. No, that will never work that way. And if it works that way in your ministry, you think it works that way in your ministry, you're in error. And you better be careful because the enemy will try to get us to step out in some of these gifts when the Holy Spirit isn't manifesting them, and it can create chaos in the body of Christ, folks, and in the people we're trying to minister to. So take a little word of wisdom, not the word of wisdom we're working with here. I'm not giving you a word of wisdom now, but I'm giving you a word that has wisdom in it. Okay, let's put it that way. And that is, if you're one that God occasionally works these gifts through, make sure he's manifesting the gift and not you. Because it's only as the Spirit wills. And you don't own the gift, folks. God owns the gift. He will use us as channels to minister his gift to someone else occasionally that they may profit. Okay? Now, that's really all I need to say about these gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 12. I have other lessons on the gifts of the Spirit in the school that you can access and listen to. But that's all I want to say about these gifts right now. Okay, let's go on now to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at a few more gifts and ministries. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's start with verse 4. There is one body. I'm talking about the body of Christ again, folks. That's what the lesson is about today. There is one body and one Spirit working through that body, okay? That's the Holy Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. See, folks, we're called with a calling. It's all saying the same thing. There's one body. There's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Each one of us, folks, each one of us as a member of the body of Christ has a certain gifting or calling or thing that we're supposed to do. Now, that doesn't mean just one thing you're going to do in the body of Christ. You'll do a variety of things, but there's probably going to be one thing that is sort of the thing God uses you with the most. Something that you sort of get known by it in a way. That doesn't mean you're manifesting this when you choose, because God's doing it through you, but you'll find that certain people he will use over and over in these certain areas. Okay? That's all it's saying here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, that's the key right there. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Remember we were talking about that measure back in Romans? That measure of the gift of faith? There's a measure of the gift of Christ. You're each going to be given grace or a gifting according to a measure of the gift of Christ. Whatever measure Jesus gives you in this gift is what you'll have. By measure, there'll be some anointings that will be stronger than others in certain giftings, okay? I'm not going to get into this right now, but Jesus had the measure without limit, until the Bible tells us. We have measure with limit. We have a measure of the gift. He had the full measure of the gifts when he was working on earth. Now, we won't see that because we've been given these gifts by measure. And Jesus had his gifts, giftings, and power without measure. Still was using the Holy Spirit's power. Still was doing what the Father was doing through him. The only thing is, the Father was doing it without measure through Jesus. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay? Who gave the gifts? The head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Who are the men he gave it to? His body. All right? And where's that body? On earth. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So when Jesus ascended up out of hell, he gave gifts unto men. That was when he was came out of hell, defeated Satan down there in hell, came out of hell, had the keys to death and hell, Revelation 1:18 tells us, had the keys to death and hell, came out of there leading captivity captive. We're not going to talk about that right now. There's teaching on that that I've done in the past and we can do later. And he gave gifts unto men. Okay? What are these gifts? Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors, and some teachers. Okay? Now, this is what the people call the fivefold ministry. These are full-time ministry, folks. Not all of us in the body of Christ are going to be in the full-time ministry. All right? But this is talking about full-time ministry. Like your pastor, he's a full-time pastor probably at your local assembly. Prophets, usually they're full time. They travel around. They speak. They talk. They have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, working mightily in their ministries. Evangelists, full-time evangelists are on the trail. They go around the world telling the unsaved how to get saved, how to become members of the body of Christ. Full-time pastors, full-time teachers. There's people that travel around full-time teaching the body of Christ, okay? And so this is fivefold ministry, and usually this is full-time. Why are they doing this? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or edifying the body of Christ. How long are they going to be doing this? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that means mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we were talking about before. We have this gift, it says in verse 7, as a measure of the gift of Christ. And we're going to be a mature man unto a measure of the stature of the fullness that Christ had. We're not going to have the complete fullness, folks. We will as the body in totality. We'll never be God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking that. But I'm saying that when Jesus was on earth and was operating under the power of the Holy Ghost in his ministry, he did it in the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ is he had these gifts without measure. We're going to be doing that in a measure of that fullness of what he did on earth, okay? Now, that just explains that we as the body of Christ individually aren't going to have all these different ministries, all these different giftings that Jesus had working in his individual person when he was on earth. We're going to have each of us a little part of it. But the body of Christ as a whole is going to do all the works of the body Jesus did. He that believeth on me, in my name shall he do all these works that I did, and greater works. Greater works because the totality of the body is greater than the individuality of Jesus. Because Jesus, when he ministered on earth, with the power of the Holy Spirit, could only be in one place at one time. So he could minister to the group that was there and no other. Whereas the body of Christ is scattered all over the earth. And they can minister, many of us, in different places at the same time. And so that's in one way how we will do greater works. We also have the dispensation now of preaching the gospel of salvation, which Jesus never preached because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. We can also teach and preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Jesus never preached because you need to be born again before you can receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and things like that. And he did it so that we'd henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we see here in these verses that we are going to have certain giftings as a member of the body. If you jump down now to verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see we have the head of the body in heaven. We have the body of Christ on earth joined together, working in a measure of the fullness of Christ, all these different gifts on earth. You see now, folks, I think you can look back now and see how the body of Christ is going to be able to do the works that Jesus said we would do. At first, when you read John 14:12, we were all just a little bit, huh? How are we going to do that? When Jesus said, he that believeth on me in my name shall he do the works that I have done, and even greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. We're all going, whoa, how is that going to happen? Well, now, can you understand a little bit better how that we're going to be doing these works with the same Spirit Jesus had, with the same Jesus directing us, okay? We're going to be the body. Jesus is the head. He's going to tell us what to do. He's going to go with us. And one more thing I'd like to cover before we leave this subject for today, and that is the secret to doing these works. The Bible calls it a great mystery. I'd like you to introduce you to the great mystery, the great secret of doing these works. The Bible calls it a mystery hidden for ages, but now revealed. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 18, and then we're going to jump down to verse 25 and read. Okay, here it is. Let's find out the mystery. Verse 18, talking about Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that's talking about Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. See, folks, as we said, Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He was the firstborn in the church, okay? When he came out of hell and was raised up, he was begotten again, it says in the Bible. He was the first begotten of God, all right? That simply means that Jesus was the first one that was raised from the dead with this new life. Jesus was raised from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, do this first. Then Jesus said, now you must be born again. You must be begotten from the dead. And therefore, every believer has been raised from the dead in the same sense. That's what it means. He was the firstborn from the dead. Because, folks, after Adam sinned, everyone has been dead, spiritually dead, from then on until the first ones were born again after Jesus was raised from the dead. We had a few born again in John 20, the night that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. We had 120 more in the upper room that were baptized in the Holy Ghost, that were begotten from the dead. And then Peter gave a sermon, and 3,000 more were begotten from the dead. So Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. And after the day of Pentecost, there were 3,100 and some more born from the dead, okay? Paul says in verse 25, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. See, even Paul was made a minister by Jesus. He's a member of the body of Christ, and Paul had a ministry to fulfill, just like we do, according to the dispensation of God, according to the gifting given by God. Paul did on earth what God was working through him on earth. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Philippians, it's God that worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so you see how he was doing that? God was working in Paul, doing the gifting that Paul was called to do. Called here the dispensation of God, which is given unto me, Paul said, to fulfill the word of God, whereof I am made a minister. Now listen, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and had from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. Folks, we're the saints he's talking about. If you're a born-again believer, you're a saint. It's not just certain highly placed believers that are saints. We're all saints. We're none of us sinners anymore. Okay? When you're born again, you cease being a sinner. And you're called a saint. All right? So that's what you are. Get it straight. All right, now, the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, the body of Christ. Okay? What is that mystery you're wanting to know? Okay, here it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what is the mystery? Here it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's the secret to everything, folks. Christ is in us. He lives in us through the Holy Ghost. He gives his instructions in us because he lives in us as the head. See, we're part of his body. It's a great mystery. It's incredible, folks, when you think about it. We are the body of Jesus himself. On earth. That's us. That's the mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's a mystery that's hid from the world. The world can't understand it. The world will never understand it. But folks, we need to understand it. We need to know that Christ is in us. And that's how he's doing the works that he wants us to do on this earth. It's very simple. He's here. He's in us through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, it's a great mystery. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature or perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherein I also labor, Paul says, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. How is that possible? How is it possible that he's working in you mightily? Well, that's the mystery, isn't it? Just reveal. It's the reason he can work in Paul mightily is because Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery, the great mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul is saying, that's how I labor, and that's how I can strive according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, because he's in me mightily. He's in there, folks. Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. Why? Because he's in Paul, just as he's in every believer. We can say that too. Christ is in me, working mightily. Christ works in me mightily. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, which worketh in me mightily. All right, now that we're just about done here, let's turn to Ephesians 5, and we'll see him confirming. Jesus said, and the Bible tells us, let everything be confirmed by two or more witnesses. 5:30, verse 32. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body. There it is, the second witness, third witness, fourth witness, I don't know how many now. We are of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto one wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Well, what's that got to do with the body of Christ? Listen, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the mystery, folks. See, it says here, now you have to read a little more closely here. Two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That means that Christ is one flesh with his body. Christ is the head, we're the body. That makes sense, doesn't it? The head and the body comprise one flesh. Isn't that the way your head and body are? I mean, doesn't your head and body, aren't they comprised of one flesh? Well, that's all the Bible's telling us here, that the head and the body is one flesh. And how it happened is a great mystery. And that grace mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It all ties together, folks. But Paul says, I speak concerning Christ and his church. That's us. We are the church. The body is the church. Christ is the head. We're the body. That's one flesh. And it's a great mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, so what we've learned in this lesson, I want you to take away from with you two main things. Okay? Number one, God has a method in place to do the works that he's called us to do. And that method is called the body of Christ on earth, which operates under the directions of the head of the body, who is Jesus. Did you get that? That's number one. Number two, I want you to get that the body gets its power to do the works that it's called to do by the Holy Spirit who lives in every member of the body, which is us, the church. Jesus tells the Holy Spirit what he wants done. Then the Holy Spirit informs us. Then as we step out in obedience, the Holy Spirit provides the power to do the works that he wants done. We'll continue talking about that in our next lesson.
Now let's go over the homework for lesson HBS 127. First question, true or false? When Jesus came to earth, he laid aside being God and was just a man. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, of course. When Jesus came to earth, he did not lay aside being God. He was always God. But he did lay aside his power, his godly power. And so that's false. Next question, true or false? Jesus said the works he did would be done by believers too. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. We know that from our scripture we've been going over and over, which is John 14:12. That said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works, because I go unto the Father. Next question, true or false? Yes, but that was for the believers back then and has been done away with today. Well, that's false. Our whole lessons in the last couple lessons have shown us where that is false. Next question, true or false? No, I am one of the believers that will be doing these works. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that should be true. You are a believer if you're listening to this lesson, I would imagine. And if you are a believer, you're the one that's supposed to be doing these works. So let's just assume that you're one of those obedient believers and that you're going to be doing the works. And that question then is true. True or false? The works of Jesus were all miracles. Is that false or true? Well, that's false. The works of Jesus weren't all miracles. I think sometimes Christians have the impression that when we talk of works, we're talking about miracles mainly. But that's not the case. The works of Jesus were many other things, which we'll discuss here in this homework as we go on. So the answer to that question then is false. True or false? If Jesus would have come to earth with all his godly powers, he wouldn't have been able to be our example, since there is no way Christians could do the works he did as God. Is that true or false? That is true. If Jesus would have come to earth with all his godly powers, he couldn't have been our example, because there's just no way we could do the works he did as God. You know, we aren't God. We're just believers. But he's given us certain authority and the power of the Holy Spirit and told us that we should now go and do his works. Okay, so that question then is true. Next question. True or false? That's why Jesus laid aside his godly powers for a while, so he could be our example and so that we could do the works he did. Is that true or false? That is true. Well, that's exactly why he did it, folks. He laid aside his godly powers so he could be our example and then show us that we could do the same works he did because we had the same Holy Spirit he had. True or false? Christians have the same Holy Spirit Jesus had empowering them. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's true. Jesus didn't have a different Holy Spirit than we have. There's only one Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to do the works that he did is empowering us today to do these works. So that is true. True or false? Most believers are members of the body of Christ. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, folks, because all believers are members of the body of Christ, not just most of them. Next question. The body of Christ is also called the church and is made up of all born-again believers. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. We saw in our lesson in a couple of different places that the body of Christ is the church. The church is the body of Christ. You could say it either way, and it'd be perfectly true. The body of Christ is the church and is made up of all born-again believers, so that is true. Name three of the most common works Jesus did that the body of Christ will do as well. What were three of the most common things he did? Well, in a couple of different places, it says it this way. Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. And the scriptures for this question would be Matthew 9:35 and Matthew 4:23. That's where it says that Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. And there's another place that tells us some of the works that Jesus did that we will do as well, and that's in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now listen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Did Jesus cast out devils? Yes. Are we going to be casting out devils? Yes, when necessary. And we'll do it in his name because we're believers. Remember, Jesus said, and these signs will follow them that believe. So that was another work he did that we're authorized to do as well. And it goes on down through here. There's a list of them. Down at the bottom it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Did Jesus lay hands on the sick? Yes. Are we going to be laying hands on the sick? Yes. And they'll be healed just like they were when Jesus did, because we have that same Holy Spirit in us. The only difference, and I pointed this out in the lesson, is that Jesus had this Holy Spirit without measure. But we have it by measure. That is, no individual member of the body of Christ is going to do every work Jesus did. I think that's self-evident. But as a collective whole, the body of Christ will do all the works that Jesus did, and some even more works that we discussed in the lesson, called greater works. We discussed that in the lesson, and some of the greater works were the fact that Jesus never preached salvation because he hadn't gone to the cross. We'll do that. That's a greater work. Jesus never preached baptism in the Holy Spirit. We'll do that. And that's another work that Jesus didn't do. And also, folks, remember, as I said in the lesson, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. Believers now, millions of believers can be all over the world preaching the gospel at the very same time. So that would be a greater work in terms of volume. Next question. Jesus gives his body gifts and ministries to accomplish the works and carry out his will. Is that true or false? Well, we found out, folks, and that was true. And I gave you several scriptures for that. Next question. He also gives us blank in the person of the blank blank to do the works. What goes in these blanks? Well, here's what goes in the blanks. He also gives us power in the person of the Holy Spirit to do the works. So power and Holy Spirit go in those three blanks. The great mystery hidden for ages but now revealed is, and you fill in the blank. What is that great mystery that we covered in our lesson? Well, it was in Colossians 1:27, and it said that great mystery but now revealed is Christ in us. And that's an amazing, amazing thing when you think about it. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So the great mystery hidden for ages but now revealed is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Next question. God has a method in place for us to do the blank he has called us to do, called the blank of blank, on earth, which operates under the direction of the blank of the body, who is blank. Fill in the blanks. What goes in there? God has a method in place for us to do the works he has called us to do, called the body of Christ on earth, which operates under the direction of the head of the body, who is Jesus. Next question. The blank gets power to do the works by the blank blank who lives in every blank of his blank. Goes in those blanks. The body gets power to do the works by the Holy Spirit who lives in every member of his body. Folks, every one of us, if we're a believer, we're a member of the body of Christ and have the mighty Holy Spirit indwelling our spirits. He's always in there, folks. You're never alone. God is always with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is, if you're a believer, and I know all the people out there listening to this lesson are believers. Next question. Blank tells the Holy Spirit what he wants done. The blank blank informs us. Then as we step out in blank, the Holy Spirit provides the blank to do the work. What goes in these blanks? Jesus tells the Holy Spirit what he wants done. The Holy Spirit informs us. Then, as we step out in obedience, or faith really, the Holy Spirit provides the power to do the work. Next question. The body of Christ in totality will do all the works Jesus did, but individually we will not. Is this true or false? Well, that's true, folks. And I just bring this out to show that we don't get too carried away here. We're going to do the works of Jesus, but each one of us won't do all the works. That's obvious, I think. So, it's true that the body of Christ in totality, that means all of us working together, will do all the work Jesus did, but individually, we will not. Next question. Individually, we each have blank or blank, which we are responsible to use to carry out the works Jesus wants done on earth. What goes in those blanks?
Individually, we each have gifts or ministries which we are responsible to use to carry out the works Jesus wants done on earth. Next question, true or false? The works we do as members of the body will not be more than we can do because Jesus will be helping us through the Holy Spirit that lives in each member. Is that true or false? That is true. And our last question, we didn't cover this in the lesson, but I just thought I'd put it in so that you'd realize that you've got help when you go out to do these works. Jesus blank is easy and his blank is light. What scripture tells us that? Well, that would be Matthew 11:30, which says, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. I believe that scripture starts in Matthew 11:27, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And now, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Let's just go over it one more time. It's such a beautiful scripture. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You ever labored and feel heavy laden? Well, come unto him, and he will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you do this, you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All right, then, folks, that completes the homework for lesson HBS 127.